Hey everybody, I'm Lisa Burwell, founder and editor-in-chief of V Magazine, and you are listening and or watching V Speaks Think Out Loud podcast. And today I am so excited to have a former V cover girl, owner of Tribe Kelly Surf Post, wife of Florida Georgia Line, Brian Kelly, and this beautiful girl is sitting here right before me. Welcome, Brittany. So glad to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. Hello, hello, everyone.
Yeah, so fun. So we were just talking about how last April we shot your cover for the magazine, and you're so beautiful on that cover and so real, and that surfboard in yellow and beautiful blue looks so good. And and you've since done lots of other editorials for other magazines too, and you're really walking into so many different things in your life right now, and you're young and beautiful and the world is before you, and you have such a heart to help people, and you're a very inspirational person, and we're honored to have you. And I know you're doing something really new and exciting and near and dear to your heart. Tell the audience about Pivot Tribe, or is it Tribe Pivot?
Whatever you want it to be.
Okay. this new endeavor of yours.
Yes, absolutely. I was talking to you earlier. I could talk about this for hours. So it's a therapy process called the Pivot Process, and it was founded and created by my life coach, Lori Jean, and she has 30-plus years of research and jobs under her belt and therapeutic practices that she studied and studied up under some really credible psychologists. And she, I don't want to misspeak the facts, but the past decade she has been working on and basically putting people through this process. And she likes to call it a process because it's not a program. It's a process. It's a forever process. We're forever working on ourselves, and we forever need to be coached, and we forever need to have someone healthy to talk to. So on these bases, she formed this pivot process. And to put it simply, it gives you tools that allow you to pivot into healthier conversations, relationships, moments, environments, versus, you know, a therapy session once a week. And let me explain a little bit the difference between having a therapist and having a coach. The pivot process, you have a coach. Therapy, I have done for 12 years of my life. I've been in therapy since, I guess, I was 16 years old. And therapy to me, in my opinion, it's a place you go, you know, once a week for an hour a week, and you save up all your problems to just dump them on your therapist. And then they tell you, well, you've got trauma disorder, you've got PTSD, you have separation anxiety, you have all of this laundry list of things that you are now, in my opinion, I felt defined. And I also felt like I was kind of getting addicted to saving up all my stuff to kind of dump on my therapist. In this coaching process that I've been in for a year and a half, it was just a completely different experience. Number one, you still have the same template of talking to your coach once a week, but you're able to communicate with them in between sessions. So when things start to rumble or things start to come up or that one family member texts you or you have these red flags that go off, you instantly can contact your coach and say, hey, here's the feelings I'm having. Here's the response I want to respond. You know, how can I lean on you? How should I respond? And typically it's you're doing probably the wrong thing and you're probably responding in a codependent way or, you know, a past trauma conditioning that you have. And so your coach really helps you carve out these muscles and conditionings in your mind to rewire your brain, to recondition yourself. I like to say the pivot process is a lot about unlearning who I'm not.
Very interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Your parents, your teachers, your friends, the environment you're around shapes every single conditioning that we have in our mind, and down to reactions that we don't even know why we have them, down to these thoughts that are so traumatic and sometimes morbid and negative. All of those feelings are valid, but they all come from a conditioning or some sort of experience that we had when we were a child. So your coach really helps take you through this process and learn these tools to start adding to your tool bag. Right. So when that coworker starts to engage in a toxic conversation, you whip out that tool and say, oh, here's how I pivot out of this. Because in the past, maybe you didn't want to make them feel uncomfortable, or you didn't want to make them feel any sort of way, and you just kind of swallow it down and you end up feeling uncomfortable.
So it's helping you be the best person that you can be.
Absolutely. And it's helping you honor your soul and who you really are, instead of just going with the flow of these conditionings and these things that your mind has unconsciously gotten in the pattern of doing and saying and reacting to.
So is it all digital? I know when you had posted it on social last week that you are launching this partnership. Do you meet a person, or is that over the phone? Is it texting? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So the process in what I've been doing has been individual coaching, and that can be on the phone or virtually. And then what we're starting through Tribe Kelly, it's a more affordable option called the Pivot Tribes, and this is in a group of six. So I wanted to explain a little bit about what the coaching was in general. And now with the Pivot Tribe, we're offering a more affordable way to get this type of coaching if you can't afford an individual coach. And you meet with five other people and your coach every week, and you get taken through the pivot process in 6 weeks for half the price.
Oh, and are you actually a coach too?
I'm not yet, okay, but I'm in training.
Ah.
Yeah.
How long is that training?
You know, I want to dig a little bit deeper into myself. I've, like I said, been in therapy for 11 years. I've been in this process, this pivot process, for a year and a half. I'd like to get, especially with 2020, I'd like to get through the end of the year and undig
yeah.
my stuff.
Everybody has to get through the end of 2020.
Right. But I'd like to work on myself a little bit more. There's a couple little parts in my mind that I need to figure out, and I really would love to coach people. Just
so
basically out of the goodness of my heart.
Right.
I'm also not affiliated with this. I'm not affiliated in a way of being paid or getting any commission off this. This is kind of that feeling of you find this knowledge or this treasure and you just want to spread it to everybody as much as you can.
I bet that would be hard to be the coach when you're hearing some, or even like in the field of psychology, just you're hearing a lot of people's problems too. So you definitely would need to like be a master, like a Zen master, to basically
you
got to
be healthy enough to take other people's stuff on.
Right.
And that's a big problem that I haven't really understood until recently, is I was depending on people that weren't healthy enough to hear my stuff. Whether that be your spouse, your best friend, or a coworker you've opened up to. You don't really realize that they may not be healthy enough emotionally, or they may not understand in a professional way what you're going through or how to even help you, So to have that healthy person to lean on and get real expert advice and information, is a lot healthier than trying to lean on someone who's unhealthy as well.
So when you say you could do this forever, like it's not like a 6-week course, it would be like a lifestyle, like just like working out or eating well. So with the six or five people you said, so six people, then do you pick who they are? Like how does like the Tribe Kelly brand help facilitate who they are? And like, do you nurture them, or is it just like a program where you're offering them the ability to financially afford the program?
Yeah, good question. So right now with Tribe Kelly, we are advertising for them. We are creating 100% nonprofit give back collection to then fund people, or that will then fund other people going through this process. So as far as Tribe Kelly, we're basically shouting it from the rooftops because we want everyone to know. We've teamed up with my life coach to create a more affordable option in these pivot tribes.
Yeah, that's great.
And to also give free resources through our website, through the pivot website. And the 6 weeks process really will set them up with the modules they need to almost coach themselves.
Mm.
But then they'll have the option to gain an independent coach at the end. And once you've gone through this 6-week process, you may not feel you need to talk with someone every single week, and maybe one or two times a month. So
Yeah.
Where I'm at right now, I just talked to my coach once last month, because when this stuff starts to come up, I start coaching myself because I know all the modules. I have all the tools now.
Yeah.
But if there's something that's still a little off, or maybe just is rumbling too much, then I contact my coach.
It's pretty timely that you are launching this in 2020, 3 months into COVID-19, and then on the heels of civil unrest like we have never seen before.
That's right.
Was it coincidental or serendipitous?
We've been working on this for over 8 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, it was
coincidental.
Crazy timing. And, you know, with having a following on the internet, there was a lot of opinions coming at me. And with the Pivot and the Pivot Tribes launching at that time, you know, we had the conversations, do we wait? Do we just not, you know, try to say anything? And my first response was, no, we can't wait.
It literally starts
with ourselves.
Right.
I mean, that was right when all of that, you know, COVID and the civil unrights, when all that started happening, I immediately contacted my coach and I said, how can I self-reflect?
Mm-hmm.
Can you please help me self-reflect? How can I unlearn some of these conditionings? Because as much as I thought I had it together, I had a lot of people challenge me. The editor of Forbes magazine, she contacted me and challenged me on asking me how I was actively, you know, you're posting all these things, but how are you actively?
You mean for the in regards to the Pivot?
Pivot and just the world.
How
are you actively helping people during COVID? How are you actively helping people during this civil, you know, unjust? How are you? And so it kind of panicked me because I'm like, you know, we're doing a lot, but how are we really putting this into action? And it does come back to Pivot. Like, I can post all the quotes, all the resources, all of my friends of equal injustice resource, all the things, but it really starts with ourselves, reflecting where we came from, what our parents conditioned in our minds, what our teachers conditioned in our minds, what our environment, where we live, how all that equals up to why we think the way we think. And just self-reflecting with my coach was, I mean, just groundbreaking, because with a therapist, I feel like it just wouldn't have worked out the way it worked out. And the coach gives me goals. Well, what are you going to do from this week to next week to fulfill yourself in that? You know, how are you going to be active in the things that you do? And yes, you donated to these places, but how are you going to be actively continuing this? And, you know, you set your goals with your coach, whether you're in a group or individual, and you start with the whole perspective. That's one of the first modules you go through. And you say, you check in with yourself. How am I doing emotionally? How am I doing physically? How am I doing spiritually? How am I doing in my world around me? And how am I doing in my relationships? And so you kind of talk about that each week or every time you get on the phone with your coach or in your group. And it holds you accountable, mm-hmm. you know, because sometimes when you're just diagnosed with trauma disorder, PTSD, you just, well, I've got trauma disorder. You know, of course I'm going to react that way.
Right.
But, okay, I've got trauma disorder, but how can I pivot into changing and rewiring my brain to be a healthy person and to be that person that truly resonates with who I am deep down?
Right.
You know?
And so you were a psychology major in college. Mm-hmm. And so would you say your roots for where you are right now was sort of formulating then? Because obviously you had an interest if you were majoring in psychology.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually started out in accounting, of all things.
I cannot see you as an accountant.
I know. So I was pretty much on my own at 17. My Nana was tragically killed, unfortunately, when I was 17, and I was left to be the ward of a state. I knew that I was interested in psychology, but until I got into college and started seeing counselors, I just didn't know that I wanted to do it. And I really started majoring in psychology to kind of unwind my own stuff and figure myself out. And then it just became a direct passion to help others. And even my roommates in college, I started to kind of counsel them to an extent, or talk about maybe what we talked about that day in developmental psychology, and just started to have that passion of talking to someone and feeling really fulfilled when they felt like they got something out of it. Mm-hmm. And so I knew, you know, I graduated college and went straight on the tour bus. And that's how Tribe Kelly was born, because I wrote the blueprints of, you know, Tribe Kelly on the tour bus, but I knew deep, deep down that I wanted to help people. And I knew I didn't want to be a therapist, though. Mm-hmm. I definitely knew I didn't want to be a psychiatrist. But I love talk therapy.
Right. Well, plus you have a sphere of influence. And when you have a sphere of influence like you do, and then that coupled with your own passion to help people, you can probably accomplish so much more this way than if you even were a therapist, mm-hmm. like a conventional way. Because like, well, let's just say there is nothing conventional anymore. I mean, the world is like completely upside down and everything has to be relearned and we have to do things differently. So sometimes I think one of the most important things in the world is to, if you have a sphere of influence or if you strive to have one, I think the most important thing about it is then to use it for probably what you really were put on the earth to do, and that everything else to me in my own personal life is a prop to do the real work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
I love that.
It's so amazing that you have what you have, because so many more people are going to listen, you know, your credibility factor, you know, your fan base. And so you're going to be able to affect so much change, especially with, you know, your robust social marketing and just who you are and, you know, as an influencer. I mean,
and I think that's what I couldn't have said it better myself. That's, I think, what was frustrating in the beginning, you know, being on the tour bus and not being able to kind of fulfill that mental health bone in me that I wanted to help others. I specifically wanted to help underprivileged kids who their parents may be incarcerated or their parents may be on drugs and they just don't have really a chance at all other than their school therapist. So I really wanted to dig in there. But it was frustrating because I'm like, you know, I can help one person at a time, but how can I help a big group of people? And
it's amazing.
Fast forward, and this is...
And how many years is this? Not that many, right? From then until now, is it like...
5.5.
That's a really short period of time. I mean, your trajectory just shot up.
And I really knew I needed to work out my stuff, too. You know, I was 22 when I went on the bus.
Or so young.
23 when I got married, 22 when I was on the bus. So
you're an old soul, I think, would you say?
Oh, I definitely, yeah. And I think growing up with my grandmother, I felt like I've been 50 years old since I was 7, honestly. I know it's the weirdest thing to say, but I feel like I'm just, you know, just an old soul for sure.
That's good. I like old souls. They're good. Definitely good. So what did you do when COVID hit? Like, I just find it fascinating to know, like, how people, like, got through that. Did you find a silver lining? Were you completely unnerved? Were you, like, some people were cool with it. And they were just going to do the, you know, stay at home and like ride it out. And other people, you know, weren't like it, the experience was not the same for everybody. So you had to shutter the store just like, you know, we all had to stop or just work from home and all that. How did you deal with that?
Yeah, you know, if this would have been 5 years ago, you know, my husband and I would have had to deal with it a lot differently. We didn't have the finances that we have now. We didn't have the home that we have now, the resources that we have now. So 5 years ago would have been a way different scenario than now. You know, we're really blessed. And in the fact that my husband has had a really great job the past 5 years, we've been smart and, you know, set up our life in Nashville and here in Florida. And, you know, we just felt really, really fortunate to not have to worry about the finances. But with that being said, we have a lot of family, a lot of friends, a lot of people around us. And we felt blessed to be able to help them financially. But for us personally, my husband and I, we were in Africa for 3 weeks. And on week 3 is when the COVID stuff started getting pretty serious. And the couple that we were with, we were just kind of trying to talk back and forth, like, should we leave? Should we not? And so we ended up staying the full trip. And we ended up flying home at the beginning of the crazy COVID stuff. So this is like middle of March at this point. And as we're flying home from Africa, Johannesburg here, the flight attendant comes up and he says, this is the last flight out of Africa.
Wow.
And we had like 3 or 4 flight attendants say that, like, did you know this was the last flight? And we're like, no, I guess it was just a God thing, you know?
You would have been stuck.
Yeah. And so, you know, when we landed, it was very different for us because we went and tried to really enjoy our vacation. We landed and then started just consuming all the media, all the information. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was very down. I'm an empath. You know, no matter what position I'm in, I do feel blessed. We were okay. We have food and shelter, but I'm an empath. I immediately started to feel, just feel for everybody, man. You know, the homeless nonprofit community that I'm involved in Nashville, I mean, it just, there were people, hardworking people who never had to worry about paying their bills that had just got hit by a tornado at the beginning of March and then went straight into COVID, that they've worked hard their whole life, been a middle-class citizen, and then all of a sudden they're on the street and their kids could go, you know, to social services. So for me, it was pretty dark the first couple of weeks because even, like I said, in the position of being blessed, it just was heavy, man. It was so heavy. So we try to do as much as we could, and I feel like I'm like trying to toot my own horn. I don't mean this when I say this, but we ended up raising $50,000 with our sweatpant launch. And we donated that straight to the Nashville homeless community and ended up, I think, moving, I don't want to say the number, but several families into apartments for the year.
That's
and
awesome.
Just help, you know, little by little.
Right.
But yeah, that was a lot. And I feel like since then we've just been really trying to figure out with each launch and with each thing that we're able and blessed enough to do, how can we give back and how can we just keep that momentum, even when there's not a huge disaster happening, you know, how do we, I don't want to say this is all over because it really is a new world, but how do we keep that momentum of constantly seeking out underprivileged, you know, nonprofit associations that are really the hands and the feet of Jesus trying to do this work, you know?
Right. Compassion and to whom much is given, much is expected.
Absolutely.
And that's just like the easiest golden rule to live by. And that's what we're going to do.
And we try, you know, we're very much about, you know, tithing, you know, the right percentage and being faithful followers, but not just writing a check, not just shooting that check off and feeling good about yourself, but really getting in there and seeing like, who is this going to? Where is it going? How is this affecting immediate lives that need changed? Not, you know, who's getting paid on the board and who's, you know, just trying to really focus and have good intentions and where the money goes too.
That's amazing. Good for you.
Trying.
So, the red bar.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the
topic change.
So, Brittany, you were open for about 8 months as a neighbor right across the street from the landmark restaurant, the Red Bar. And then, so tragically and sadly, the Red Bar burned to the ground.
That's right.
And that was a shocking experience for everybody in town. Like, I went on my first date with my husband at the Red Bar.
Oh, that's so
and
awesome.
Like, and like everybody else has something, like they got engaged or, you know, maybe they broke up with their boyfriend at the Red Bar. Like, I don't know, but everyone has a story. And so what did that do to you when you look out your window and the building is burned to the ground? And like how, I mean, that's a tragic thing to endure as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely devastating. I guess I've been going to the Red Bar since I was like 12 years old. Two houses down from the Red Bar, we used to grow up and stay with our friend that had land there. And we would just barefoot walk over to the Red Bar, flirt with boys, dance, hide from our parents, you know, all the fun things. And yeah, I mean, right when it burned down, even when you have, I mean, we immediately heard, we're going to rebuild, but it's just, you can't rebuild those memories and those walls and the energy that was existing in there. You can build new for sure, but I think those old preserved memories are just so special and definitely felt like a tiny little piece of, you know, us and our memories, I guess, died, but they're still there. But yeah, I mean, I think it's great that there's going to be new life there. And
I think the building looks good.
Mm-hmm, the building looks awesome. I'm hoping that I get like a pre-invitation or
something.
I hope
you do too. I hope I get one too. Ollie, please.
But yeah, we're excited. We're about to add our third shift. For us and the girls, that was our most fun we would have is third shift. We turn the music up a little bit. We encourage people to bring their drinks in.
It's a party.
We end up having a dance party pretty much in there. We have a little backyard area where people usually send their husbands and kids to play cornhole and hang out. And the wives stay in there and shop with us. We're ready. We're super ready. Yeah.
Good. Well, all right. Do we know when it's opening? I heard. Like July 4th weekend?
They hate to see me coming over there.
Because you're asking?
Because I'm like, when do I need to put girls on the schedule?
Oh, all right. Yes, you need to know.
So I've maybe gotten an inside scoop. It's going to be the first week of July to the public.
Okay.
So I don't want to like.
Right. Don't spread that rumor. We won't spread that right now. But I think so, too. I had heard that as well. So maybe we want to just spend the remaining time together with you just talking about how people can contact you, the websites, and like maybe any other information so that we can get people to start talking and joining.
Yeah, absolutely. You can obviously follow us on Tribe Kelly. We're always providing free resources from just inspirational quotes to different places that you can use for free to contact people through the mental health channels. We have resources on our website. And then Love to Pivot is going to be the handle for the Instagram, and also the website is lovetopivot.com. There are just dozens and dozens of beneficial blog posts on there that were written by my coach and the founder, Lori Jean. So a lot of free stuff on there if you can't afford coaching right now.
Good to know.
Also, which actually I brought the book to you today, my coach has written a book called #HealthyAdult. And it kind of walks you through why the pivot process was created, some of the verbiage that we use, and some of the modules that you can incorporate into your own life. So you can get that off Amazon, which is a really great resource. We're also doing a 4-part series right now, my life coach and I, on Instagram Live, which we are saving to our Instagram TV. And that will be on my page, Brittany Kelly. And let's see, today's Wednesday. Tomorrow will be our 2-part series. So, but all of that will be saved on Instagram TV as a free resource. And then if you want to join the Pivot Tribes, that's a 6-week process. You can sign up whenever. You can go to lovetopivot.com and contact them, or we're going to leave you guys a phone number on here that you can call. And that's $60 a session compared to the individual coaching sessions at around $100 a session. So we did create the Pivot Tribes as a more affordable option to go through this same process and also virtually connect with 5 others, which is so powerful, so powerful. And it's all confidential. And, man, to connect with other people and you not knowing those people and them being, you know, completely outside of your circle and your hometowns and being able to just connect with others and that have diverse backgrounds and different stories. And it's just so powerful. And that's why my coach and I created this. For a more affordable option, and during these times of, you know, darkness and isolation, to be able to connect with others too.
A sense of belonging, because everybody, you know, needs to belong.
Mm-hmm.
And because we all became pretty forced to be disconnected, that is like the most timely, this is the most timely thing you could be doing for people right
mm-hmm.
now. Pretty awesome. All right, well, thank you for all that. And then tell us a little bit about your line that you just launched too, right? Your coastal safari.
Yeah.
Cool.
So this is something we've been working on for a little over a year. There's some just easy, breezy, cool pieces in there, all made in the USA. All the fabric down to the thread is sourced here domestically. I mean, even the thread that goes through these clothes. I mean, it's awesome. This guy in North Carolina, we get it from the best, highest quality thread manufacturer out there and right here in the U.S. So we're not looking to outside sources. We're really trying to give our people business here. And the Coastal Safari Collection is just, I mean, I have it all on right now. I've been living for probably 10 months. So it was
like the camo stuff too.
Yeah, the beach camo. So I created some of the patterns and prints in here based off of some photography I did over the past 2 years. So all of the patterns are original. Everything's drawn from whether it be travel inspiration or just a piece that I don't have. For example, I have this piece on called The Second Skin. It's just, sorry guys if you're watching this, but it's just something to hold the girls up but not be a real bra.
Right. It's pretty.
Something just to smooth you out a little bit. So things that I went to look for in stores that just weren't there that I created. Mm-hmm. So a little mix of, you know, some familiar body styles with some things that just weren't out there, and then some original prints.
Is this part of it? the coastal. This
so actually what you have on is a good friend of mine's line. Her name's Danielle Bernstein.
Okay.
And we just started carrying her in Tribe Kelly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I need to get you her book too.
Okay.
She's awesome. So we've just started to carry a couple other lines of either people I'm directly connected to or people that I know are sourcing things fairly and doing, you know, right by their brand. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks great on you, by the way.
Thank you.
But
I love your clothes. I have a lot of your clothes, and I wouldn't view myself as like your typical, like probably demographic, but
girl,
I don't
our
care.
Demographic is everybody.
I like
ages.
It. I'm going to wear it. I don't care.
Well, you look great. And you need to come by and we need to play dress up.
Okay.
I think some of this stuff in the Coastal Safari, you're going to look really good in.
That's cool. Cool. Well, you've been an amazing guest. Thank you so much. Come on anytime to update us on all that you're doing. And we will see you probably at a Red Bar party. We'll probably see you at the store. And then I just think that you're an amazing person. And I think you're incredibly giving and inspirational and a hero.
Oh, my goodness.
A shiro.
You
know,
shiro. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me and for everything you're doing and for making me a cover girl.
You're a beautiful cover girl.
Most amazing, best experience in media ever. I mean, usually I get so nervous and I'm like sweating through my clothes. And even coming here today, I'm like, I just feel like I'm going to hang out with my friends.
Well, good. That's what we want.
Yeah, no pit stains.
All right.
Maybe a little bit. But
well, we just honored to have you on the cover. And that was a great shoot. And Brenna did a great job with it. And Abby Ryan wrote your article. And I read it earlier today just to like get my head back into like the story that we had written. And I just told Abby, man, that was a good story.
It was so good. Yeah, good job, Abby. That was so good.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Brittany. And have a great day. Love you.
Thank you. You too. Love you too.